His Word in Glass. It's been said that of the various events stated of our Lord Jesus in the Apostles' Creed, the only one not yet to have come to pass is this: He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, and His kingdom shall have no end. The same can rather be said, I suppose, of our windows. Of the many events related by the many windows in the nave and sanctuary of Lutheran Church of Our Savior, the one event that has not already occurred in human history is this one, reflected in this window, the second coming of Christ. Make no mistake, it will come to pass. The angels who appeared at the ascension of our Lord Jesus promised it, when they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Our version, the English Standard Version, and so hereafter. But of course, before they announced it, our Lord Jesus himself had foretold it, saying, "Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." When this will be, we don't know, and no one can figure it out. Jesus said, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows." He goes on to say, "Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." His second coming will not be a hidden coming. His second coming won't be in order to establish a seat or station of power in the modern state of Israel from which he will reign in this world, for instance, from the hill of Zion. His second coming will not be in humility, but in great majesty, power, and glory, in order to judge the living and the dead, and to complete his new creation. You can think of these things when you look on the second coming window. It depicts our returning Lord in majesty and in glorious appearance. Notice the hands of the returning Lord. They bear the scars or the emblems of our salvation. It brings to mind, in a way, too, what's said in the first chapter of Revelation. "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him." Notice, too, the position of his hands. His right hand looks to depict the ancient configuration of peace. Recall that on that day he will place the sheep on his right hand, those who by grace have believed in Jesus Christ. His left hand may depict a different indication. On that day, it's on his left hand that he will place the goats, those who have not believed in Jesus Christ. The prominent scroll bears the title Scripture gives to our God, mentioned, for instance, in 1 Timothy 6 and in Revelation 19, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The phrase conjures to mind the majesty of the Alleluia chorus in Handel's epic Messiah. The day of our Lord's second coming will far eclipse the majesty of Mr. Handel's orchestral or choral achievement. The angel and the call of the trumpet, as Scripture indicates, are well at home in a depiction of Christ's return. This window, on the western wall of the nave, is brightest not at dawn, but at the setting of the sun. In fact, in the winter of the year, as I recall the course of it, this window is one of the two windows closest to the setting of the winter sun. It's brightest at dusk, when night is soon to set in. It's one of the windows nearest to the setting sun of winter, which season often metaphorically stands for the waning of life's days. These are good reminders for us. Let this window remind you to watch, being ready in faith and life for the sudden return of him who comes to judge the living and the dead, our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Let this window and its place remind you, too, that with the signs of the end, your redemption is drawing nigh. For many, the day will be a terrible day. For you, who have believed and hoped in Jesus and who love his reappearing, it will be a marvelous and welcome day, a day of great vindication of God's people. In one of our hymns, we sing with anticipation, O hope and expectation. Or rather, I should say, in one of these hymns, at one of our hymns, we sing with anticipation, our hope and expectation. O Jesus, now appear. On that day, the King will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And what shall we find there? It's rather captured beautifully in these words of this hymn that remind us of the bounty beyond this window.
There shall we see in glory our dear Redeemer's face, the long-awaited story of heavenly joy takes place. The patriarchs shall meet us, the prophets' holy band, apostles, martyrs greet us in that celestial land. There God shall from all evil forever make us free, from sin and from the devil, from all adversity, from sickness, pain, and sadness, from troubles, cares, and fears, and grant us heavenly gladness, and wipe away our tears.